Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
All right! How is everybody today? I know Pastor Mike just put that up there, but I want to come down here with you guys. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. We had a fantastic week this week with VBS, and you guys have showed up today kind of on the end of all the excitement, and I think you've seen a little bit of it today, haven't you? Haven't they done a great job this morning? I could do that for worship every week. That was fantastic. Lots of energy. God is worthy of our praise, and to see our kids, our young people, give their hearts and their lives to them this week has just been fantastic. But this week, we were reminded that it's game on. If you haven't picked up on that yet, that was the theme. That was our theme for the week. And the motto was gear up, get ready, and game on. Right? Y'all say it with me.
Gear up,
get ready, game on. That's right. And the sports theme was a great way to have fun and to kind of tie everything together. But the reality of it is we are all in the game. All of us, we're in the game, and game is on. We are here on Sundays, and it's a wonderful time when we gather here on Sundays, but that's kind of like the pep rally for life. Life is where the game happens. When we come here on Sunday mornings and we have a wonderful time of worship and teaching, that's kind of the pep rally, like in a high school football or a high school gymnasium when everybody's getting ready for that night's football game. That's kind of the pep rally. The real game isn't here on Sunday morning. The real game is out there in the real world, and we are in the game. Bible study and devotions are kind of like conditioning, like when we're getting prepared for a sport. But when we're in it every day, dealing with the bills and the coworkers and the classmates and the math tests and relationships and our mom and dad and all of those things, that's the real game. That's where life really happens, and it is definitely game on. This week, all of our fantastic volunteers have been called coaches, and I want just to take just a few minutes just to recognize all of our coaches. So if everybody that worked with VBS this week, if y'all would all stand up right where you are, these are our fantastic coaches for the week. Thank y'all so much. And I tell you, these young people have just knocked it out of the park this week, our students. And you guys saw some of it up there, and I can't believe that they have that much energy after all that they gave all week, because it's been fantastic. They have really done a great job. But they've been called coaches this week. All of our volunteers were called coaches, and that's a great way to kind of tie everything together, because coaches are very important. And coaches are important in any sport, and the coach is found in nearly every sport that you can look for. I tried to think of one that didn't have a coach, but everything from football to figure skating, everything from basketball to badminton, everything has a coach. They're found, sometimes they're called different things. I know in baseball they're weird, they call them managers, but they're always there. There's always a coach there for a reason. He's there for the athletes, for our boys and girls and those professional athletes. They're there to guide them, to teach them, to develop their skills, whatever talents that they might have, to encourage the athletes, and to pull the most potential out of each and every one of them. That's what a coach does. Now, today I'm wearing my archery coach shirt. I'm an archer. I love archery. I'm pretty good at it. But the thing that I like even more than doing archery, I think maybe, is teaching archery. There's nothing more exciting for me than to see somebody, maybe a young person or maybe somebody who's never shot bows and arrows before, to pick up a bow and arrow and not even know which way is up on it. And then through coaching and through time spent with them here on the range in our center shot program, which we do right here in the back of the room. It's pretty cool. We actually shoot bows and arrows here in the sanctuary. And we teach them the basic skills. I'm a basic archery instructor. And I've gone through all the training and I have the experience. And what I do is I take my skills and I pass them on to those who maybe don't have as much experience as I do in archery. And there's nothing more exciting to me than to see someone who maybe has never, ever picked up a bow before And then within just a few short weeks, those people competing in a competition. And sometimes our very first time archers are the ones that leave with the trophies. And it's really cool to see people how they grow through those things. And as a coach, we get the privilege of being able to see that. And there's some other men here who help coach that program, and they'll tell you it's a lot of fun. And when they compete against each other and they see the, how their life or how their skills are improving, it's really neat to be a part of. And here's the thing, in life, in everyday life, God is our coach. And He wants to teach us. He wants to train us. He wants to condition us and encourage us and bring out all the best potential that He has put in us for the game, for everyday life. He's instilled everything that we have in us. And then as our coach, He wants to pull that out. He wants us to experience that in our lives, to be the best at life that we can be. And John chapter 10, verse 10 is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. Verse 9 says that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And then in verse 10 it says, but I, and this is Jesus talking, it says, but I have come to give you life and give it to you in abundance. Give it to you abundantly. And as our coach, Jesus wants us to experience that abundant life. But He warns us. He says, just like almost in any sport, there's an enemy. There's somebody who's competing against us. There's someone who doesn't want us to win, but yet wants us to fail. Because when we fail, the enemy wins. But Jesus, our good coach, wants us to experience life and experience it to the full. Now, adults, big people, grown-ups, I'm going to spend most of my time talking to the kids today. And so you guys just get to listen in a little bit today. So we're going to talk. We've been together all week, and I've had the privilege of being here and kind of being a support staff for the VBS coaches this week. And so today I get the privilege of kind of pulling it in the driveway and wrapping things up. But God is our coach. He's our perfect coach, right? Did you guys talk about that this week? That's great. And in that, one of the first things that we have to do, probably the first thing that we have to do to have God or Jesus as our coach is to join His team, right? That's the first thing you have to do. In order to play the game, you got to join the team. And Jesus wants us to join His team. And here's the deal. When I give my life to Jesus, this is the first point I want to make. When I give my life to Jesus, He helps me. He helps me do a lot of things. And one of the things He does, He helps me to believe. One of the cool things about joining God's team is that it's pretty simple. It's pretty easy, really. When Jesus died on the cross and He rose from the dead, He made forgiveness available to everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. In fact, Acts chapter 2, verse 21 says, everyone, say that with me, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All you have to do is believe. You have to believe that Jesus is who He says He is, and that He did what the Bible says that He did for us. And when we believe that, and when we trust Him with our lives, that's all it takes to join His team. Isn't that pretty simple? It's pretty easy. God's made it easy for us to join His team. It's not like sports, where there's a tryout, and sometimes there's a cut list, right? And then you've got to go in and you've got to audition for things sometimes, and you've got to prove that you have the skills to be able to do that. There's no talent, there's no skills necessary to join God's team. All you have to do is believe. And I think that's pretty cool that God loves us so much that He gives us such an easy way to join His team. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is believe. God wants us to give our lives to Him so that we might experience eternal life. And some of you may be sitting here and say, well, Pastor Aaron, I don't know what that really means. What does that really mean? I don't understand what faith is. I don't have a good understanding of what it means to believe in Jesus. I don't really have a good grasp of it. Here's the cool thing about it. Jesus made it so easy for us to join His team. He says that, I want you so badly to join my team that I will even give you the belief and the faith that you need to join my team. Isn't that cool? You don't even have to figure it out on your own. He will give it to us. He tells us in John chapter 6, verse 44, nobody can come to me, Jesus talking here, unless the Father who sent me draws them. Which means that God is going to woo you. He's going to call you. He's going to recruit you to join his team. And when he does that, he's going to give you the faith that it takes to believe. He loves us so much that he meets us right where we really are. You know, Pastor Bill had a really good explanation, a really good definition of what salvation is. And salvation, according to Pastor Bill, and I think it's a great explanation, he said that salvation, all it is this bringing everything that we know about ourselves to everything that we know about God. And I think that's pretty cool. Because if I'm a little kid like you guys, and I know that sometimes I do things wrong, and I know sometimes that hurts God's heart, and it goes against his will for my life, and I know that Jesus made a way, that's all I need to know. Because I can bring that. I can say, God, I'm broken. I need something. And I know you're the answer. And when I bring that to him, that's salvation. That's me being saved. That's me joining his team. But then as we grow up and we get a little bigger, like some of your coaches here, they know a little bit more about sin. They know a little bit more about how our heart is dark and how sometimes we do things that go against God. And we want to bring that broken heart to God because we know what the extent of what he did on the cross for us is. And so we bring that to him, and when we do that, that's salvation. And I think that's pretty cool because God makes it so easy for us to join his team. And sometimes even then it's a little difficult. Do you guys remember Thomas? You guys talked about Thomas this week, right? Yeah. Right, Nate? You doubt it? I doubt it. Remember Thomas? He was struggling to believe, didn't he? What did they call him?
Doubting Thomas.
They called him Doubting Thomas. How would you like that for that to be your name? Oh, do you know so-and-so? Who? You know Doubting Thomas. Oh, yeah, that guy. That would be pretty uncool to be called Doubting Thomas. But Thomas needed a little help to believe, didn't he? And when he came to Jesus with this need to believe Jesus, did Jesus turn him away? Did Jesus turn him away? Did Jesus say, go away from me, you don't believe? No, what did he do? He said, Thomas, look, here, touch my hands. He said, see here. He said, here's the scars, look. He helped Thomas believe, didn't he? And that's the cool thing about being a part of Jesus' team, because he's such a good coach. Even sometimes when we're struggling to believe and we need some proof, Jesus will give it to us. And there's another story in the Bible that I'd like to look at. It's a man who came to Jesus and he needed his son to be healed. He came to the disciples, first of all, and said, my son needs healing. And all the disciples did everything they could do. And they said, Jesus, we don't know what we're doing here. We can't get this guy healed. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus asked the man, what do you want? And the man said, I want my son to be healed. And he said, if you can do it, please heal my son. And Jesus says, what do you mean if? Do you believe? And he says, yes. And it's recorded in Mark chapter 9. He said, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. You know, sometimes when we come to God and we kind of believe, but then there's a little bit of doubt in there, Jesus will even help us overcome that. Because God is such a good coach. He's patient. And he helps each of us as we need it. He makes a way for us all to be on his team. All of us together, we can all be on God's team. And I think that's pretty cool, because as players on God's team, he's our perfect coach. And he sent Jesus not only to die for us on the cross, not only to raise for our sins and raise from the dead to give us perfect and eternal life, but to teach us his ways also. He's a loving and a caring coach. The second thing I want to look at is Jesus cares about me and he gives us hope. What is hope? You know what hope is? Did you guys talk about that this week? What is hope? Can you remember, Jonathan? Somebody have a definite? I'm putting them on the spot here. At least I don't have a microphone. Hope is believing that something is going to happen in the future. Hope is something that's down the road, but yet we believe that it's true. You see, God knows everything about us, and he desires for each of us to live with him forever. And even though sin caused us to be separated from God, He gave His Son Jesus so that we can experience His forgiveness and enjoy an abundant life. Remember John chapter 10, verse 10? I have come to give you life and give it abundantly. That was God's promise to us through His Son Jesus. You know, people try to find hope in lots of things, don't they? Lots of worldly things. You know, grown-ups, sometimes we look for hope in finances and in politics, maybe relationships with other people. Maybe you guys put all of your hope in your parents, or maybe in a coach here on earth, or maybe in your teachers or something like that. But here's the thing, all of those things, even though a lot of them are really good, a lot of those things that we put our hope in, sometimes they're going to fail us. Sometimes they're going to let us down, because people are human and they do that sometimes. The only source of true hope is Jesus. He is God and He is perfectly faithful. Psalms chapter 86 verse 15 says, "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding of love and faithfulness." What's He abounding in? Love and faithfulness. Say that with me. Jesus, God, our Lord, is abounding in love and faithfulness. He is faithful. God loves us and He wants to give us hope. Have you ever been in a situation that seemed hopeless? Have you ever been in that kind of situation? I know you guys are young, but maybe you've been in a baseball team or something like that, and you were about to go take the field against the best team in the league. Man, how are we going to do this? How are we going to win? Or maybe you're trying out or auditioning for a drama club or a drama club or a dance club, and you're thinking, man, am I good enough for this? I don't know. I don't know if I have the skills. I don't know if I have what it takes to be a part of this team. And sometimes those situations can seem hopeless. Maybe it's taking a math test. Sometimes that can seem hopeless, right? Maybe it's talking to your teacher about something that's bothering you. Maybe somebody's being unkind to you or something, and you want to teach them or talk to your parents or your teacher about that. And maybe it seems hopeless, like, I can't do this. Jesus is always with you. Just like a good coach, when you come to a situation that seems hopeless, Jesus is going to be right there with you to encourage you and say, come on, we got this. Look at my promises. I've told you that I'm never going to leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always right here with you. And when we know that about Jesus, when we know that about our perfect coach, it makes it easier sometimes for us to come up against those things that seem hopeless. He's there to encourage us and to pick us up when we fall. He's there to comfort us when we feel sad or defeated. He's there to give us hope even in the most hopeless situations. He's a good coach, isn't he? Jesus is a good coach. Jesus loves me also. Here's the third thing I want to point out today. Jesus loves me and He gives me joy. When we come to Jesus and we join His team, that's only the beginning. Just joining the team is only just the very beginning of what God has planned for us. He wants us to enjoy a daily relationship with Him. How many of you have a best friend? How many of you have a best friend? Oh, cool. That's great. Do you like spending time with that best friend? You like hanging out with them or texting with them or chatting on the phone with them or playing video games with them or throwing the football with them or whatever. You like hanging out with them, right? Well, here's the thing. God wants to do the same thing with you. He's your friend, and He wants you to be His friend, and He wants you to hang out with Him and spend time with Him. And that's called a relationship. And His love for us is pretty incredible. In Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, I'm going to read this to you. It says, "For I am convinced," this is the Apostle Paul writing, and he says, "I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that pretty cool? Basically, what he's saying there in a nutshell is there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can ever take you away from my love. Isn't that pretty cool to know that about our coach, Jesus, about our God, Jesus, that there's nothing that can ever separate us from His love? You know, the Apostle John, the disciple John, he was one of Jesus' closest friends on earth. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine walking with Jesus and not only being with Him and hanging out with Him, but Jesus considering you to be his best friend? How cool would that be? Well, that's what John got to do here on earth. The Apostle John got to walk with Jesus and was his best friend. In fact, the Bible tells us that and calls the Apostle John, the disciple John, calls him the one, the disciple that Jesus loved. And that's pretty cool. And God used this John to write down a lot of things that God wanted to reveal to us. And he tells us in the Gospel of John what these things are. Did you know that God wants us to really enjoy the same friendship and fellowship with him that John enjoyed? Did you know that? Did you know that he wants us to be as close to him as John was? In John chapter 15, verse 15, he tells us, this is Jesus talking to us, his disciples. He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." What does Jesus call us? What does Jesus call us, boys and girls?
Friends.
Friends. He calls us his friends. And because he loves us, he wants to give us gifts. And one of those gifts that he wants to give us is joy. Regardless of the circumstances that come into your life, we can have joy in knowing that God is with us, right? He uses us to reach people with his love, and he has a lifetime and an eternity of blessings for all of us. He's got those things prepared for you. It tells us that in Jeremiah 29:11. It says, when God thinks about you, he doesn't think about bad things. He thinks about you and he thinks, how can I give them a hope? How can I give them a future? How can I prosper them? How can I make their life a good life? That's what he tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29. When we live for God, the Spirit, his Spirit lives inside of us. And part of that Spirit's job is to give us joy. Now, joy is different than happiness. How many of you have ever been happy? You know what happiness is? Happiness is being pleased about your circumstances, right? You win the big game, right? You're in there, you went out, you made a really big play, and your team wins the big game. What are you? Woo, we're happy, right? We lose the big game. Are you happy? Are you walking off the field high-fiving each other? Yeah, we lost, woo! No, you're kind of down, you're sad, right? Man, that's a bummer, dude. We really wanted to win. But here's the thing. Happiness is dependent upon your circumstances, whether you win or whether you lose, right? But joy isn't the same as happy, because happy can change depending on your situation. But God's joy that he gives us doesn't ever, ever, ever change. It's a confidence in God, our coach. No matter what our situation, no matter whether we won or lost, no matter whether things are going our way, that confidence in God being with us, that's where we get our joy from. God created us to enjoy a relationship that lasts forever. You guys know that? Forever. How long is forever? It's forever. And then some, right? And then some, right? That's how long it lasts. Y'all aren't getting my inside jokes here. Come on. They're not going to get it. Y'all were there. Come on. You got to get with me. Forever is a long time, and that's how long God wants us to spend with him. It's forever, forever and ever. Our lives are going to be pretty much meaningless without a true hope until we give our lives to Jesus. He wants us, first of all, to join his team. Say that with me. He wants me to join his team. He wants me to join his team. And then when we're on his team, he cares about us and he gives us hope. Say that. He cares about us and he gives us hope. And the third thing is, he loves us and he gives us joy. Say that. He loves us and he gives us joy. That's what God, our perfect coach, wants to do for all of us. Now, during Vacation Bible School this week, our kids and the families that they went home to were introduced to what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of the people that were here, some of the kids that were here, and I'm sure maybe even some of the adults that heard about it, made decisions about how they want to live their lives. And some of them even decided for the very first time that they wanted to join his team. And we've got a pretty cool thing that's going to happen in just a little bit here. We have one of our girls that went to VBS with us this week who has decided that she wants to follow Jesus in believer's baptism. And so we're going to have a baptism. So two, fantastic. That are going to follow Jesus in believer's baptism this week. And that is pretty darn cool. I think they need a hand, don't you? Now, boys and girls, if you were here for VBS, you heard what it takes to be a part of Jesus' team, right? And you heard it in song, and you heard it, saw it in dance, and you were talked about it during your Bible studies, and you looked at what that looks like in your life during your mission time. And if you want to do that, if you haven't yet done that, make sure that you talk to your mom or your dad or one of your coaches sitting around here and let them know that, hey, you know what? I want to join God's team too. And moms and dads, you know, we've been talking to the kids today, adults, but you guys, it's pretty simple. It's just as easy for us as adults to come to God as it is for kids. It's just as easy. All we have to do is believe. And if you've never done that, our baptismal is full and ready to go, all right? So if you want to come forward and talk to myself or Pastor Mike, we would be absolutely thrilled to include you in our baptism today. So God wants us to be a part of his team. He wants you to be a part of his team. And being a part of God's team is the best place to be because he gives us that abundant life. Now, we talked a little bit about coaches, how our volunteers this week were called coaches, and about how God is our perfect coach. Well, today is Father's Day also. And God has given us earthly fathers a pretty big job. You know, as earthly fathers, we're called to be coaches as well. And we are to help Jesus, help God coach young people, the kids in our lives, children in our lives, whether it be our own or others out there who we get the privilege of being a part of their life. He wants us, and we have the job to be coaches in their lives as well. We're kind of like God's assistant coaches. And it's our job to help be a part, to help you to be a part of God's team. You know, dads are meant to encourage and to help you find hope in Jesus, just like Jesus' job is to help you find that hope. And one of the best jobs that we have is to show you the love of Jesus and to guide you in the joy that is only found in him. You know, here's the thing. Unlike God, sometimes us earthly fathers, sometimes us earthly coaches that were in your life, sometimes we'll mess up. And sometimes we're going to let you down because we're human, right? And we're not perfect like he is. But the cool thing is that he is also our coach. And so as your fathers and as your coaches here on earth, we have a heavenly father who sets a perfect example for us to be good fathers here on earth. And my prayer is that for all the dads in here, that you are yielding yourself to the coaching of the Holy Spirit in your life, that you're finding opportunities and ways to yield yourself to his guidance and his encouragement. Because as all of you know, it's the greatest job on earth to be a dad. But sometimes it's the toughest job on earth also to be a dad. And we need help. We need the coaching of our Heavenly Father as well. So I love all of you fathers. I have the privilege of still having my dad with me. Haven't yet called him today. I need to give him a call. But you know, some of us have, our fathers have gone on, and yet we may feel that void, but we need to know that our Heavenly Father is still with us, and that we have the privilege of having him there no matter what, forever and ever. So happy Father's Day to all of you. Fathers, in our coaching, sometimes we say, you got this, but I want to flip that around. And one day, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to earth, and he said, I've got this. He said, I've got this. Sin has got you in bondage, and I've got this. Death is reigning on the earth, but you know what? I've got this. And he gave the ultimate sacrifice, paid the ultimate price for all of us, so that we can enjoy being part of his team. And so today we have the privilege of being to continue our time of worship as we receive communion. And as we receive the elements today, we got to remember that what those really represent for us as believers is what Jesus did for us on the cross. His body was broken for our healing. And when we take that broken bread that's in those trays back there, it represents that broken body, and we remember what Jesus did for us. On the night of Jesus' death, he took the cup that was there on the table, the cup of the covenant, and he held it up and he said, this is the new covenant, my blood. No longer do you have to struggle through this old way of doing things, which was imperfect. I'm here because I've got this, and I'm going to shed my blood for you. That blood that covers our sins are what we remember when we take that juice. So today, as we stand together with me, today as we observe communion, keep in mind what Jesus said some 2,000 years ago as he gave us life on the cross and said, I got this. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you that you gave your life for us. And I thank you that you want me to be a part of your team. Thank you for making a way for me to be a part of your team. And today as we take receive communion and we observe this holy sacrament today, I pray, God, that you would help us to really know what that means in our heart. And as our act of worship today, we do this in remembrance of you. Amen. The tables are all in the back today, so if you want to file down that way. Let's pray together. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, God, and we thank you that we're in this game, but we're not in it alone. We've got a Heavenly Father, a perfect coach that's here to love us through this, Lord, and we're so thankful for that. Now today, as we leave this pep rally and we go out there into the game, God, I pray that we would be mindful of our responsibility in bringing the kingdom of heaven here to earth. We thank you, Father, for your sacrifice for us, for your love for us, and it's to you that we give all of our praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Love y'all.